Beloved creator of all that is, in gratitude we know the power of the I am. I am, therefore I am. There is no one among us who can deny the power of that eternal presence when spirit and consciousness combine. I am. I am here to be in my joy. I am here to create. I am here in grateful duty through my actions to preserve that which the Almighty has given to the best of my worldly ability. I am for that I am, powerfully, yet humbly at your service. Let it be so, and so it is.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
My pleasure.
So, Charlie, you knew what Cal's work was doing from before, right?
Yes, I was very interested in following him when the smart meter thing was happening, way back. Yeah, when it was first a really big deal and what we could do about it. So, and, you know, I don't know that I need to moderate this. I don't know how this, if Cal invited us to talk or who wants to do an interview, or are we just having a conversation?
I go for conversation.
All right. Well, then I think that it would be nice to hear what Cal has been doing and is doing currently as a result of all that he has been doing.
Me too.
Okay, well, we started with the smart meters probably 6-7 years ago. We learned a lot. We learned what was not going to work at scale, like at large numbers. And there was quite a few things. And so we realized we had to have an automated system in order to mitigate mistakes, vet who their people were sending to, because there was mistakes made there, and some people who received the documents probably shouldn't have, in my opinion. We had a lot of people changing the documents when we just had them out, as a Word document for free. And not only did they change them for themselves and then got themselves in trouble, but they changed the templates. And so, okay. And we didn't know that. We just trusted people were going to, do it as written. But not only did they change it for themselves, but they changed it for others that came after them. And of course, we didn't detect it because we're not monitoring the document every 5 minutes to see if somebody's changed it. And so just even trying to fix all the changes took a long time. We had to go through word by word, comma by comma. Some of the changes were nefarious, especially around the Bible verses, where some of the punctuation was changed, like from a colon to a semicolon, so that it was very hard to detect. And so that was a big learning curve. So we finally got a automated system up, and we opened last September. It took quite a few years to get this all up and running. And so now people have been sending the documents out since about just before Christmas, and we're gaining momentum as we speak. People are joining every day. Okay. And we're still working out some of the bugs. We did a lot of testing, but it's hard to test something when you have an expectation of what it's supposed to do, and you don't really deviate from that too much. So we're finding some things with people who are novices with it, and pushing wrong buttons or whatever, and just a lot of things. So we're working all those out, and there's not that many. It seems like every day or every week there's something, but they're quite minor, and we're just adjusting it so that by the time we hit the, where the curve starts to really take off, we'll have the thing humming like a hummingbird.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So people can find out information. Do you want to give your website?
Yeah, we're at empowermovement.com. And that's just a site where you can become a member. So it's we have a membership site. We also found that we couldn't do this for free like we tried. It just wasn't going to happen. And we had to have a membership site. So there's a small fee, $15 a month, or I think it's a little less if you buy for a year. It's not a lot for what you get. We're always going to try and make the value just overwhelm what, mm-hmm. you know, what you have to put in. And it's not a money making thing, but we realized that it wasn't going to work the other way. So,
well, sometimes people feel like they're getting something that has value if they actually pay for it at least a little bit or contribute to it.
And most people who come in say that, you know, what they're getting for the amount that they're paying is already, you know, the value is just way, way too high, way higher than what they would expect to get for that kind of money. I mean, that's like cost you that much to go to a movie, right? So,
right. So I'd like to ask Ron, if you wanted to say something about how this interview came about and how you'd like to have it direct, because we do very different work.
A symbiotic relationship is kind of what I'm looking for. Couple of things. Are you aware of a guy in Pennsylvania named Tom Altman?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware of a guy in Oregon named Rod Souza?
That doesn't ring a bell, but where would he be in Oregon?
Springfield, I believe.
There was a group in Oregon, but it was run by a woman. That was years ago, back, you know, when the time Charlie probably is talking about. So other than that, I don't know anybody from Oregon, you know, along these lines anyway.
Tom Altman and I were in private attorney generals across America for a while together. I really like him. I respect the hell out of him. Last time I talked to him, he said he just went completely off grid. He just took his farm off grid. He has his own water, sewer, and electricity. He doesn't need them for anything.
Right.
Well, most people can't go that drastic.
Yeah, he emailed me about maybe a couple of months ago asking a question about solar, because I know he's on solar. So he's running his own. I think he wanted to grid tie. I can't remember what the question was, but anyway, yeah, he's off grid.
Yep. So one of the things that you guys base your principles on is the Constitution and your rights. Is that not true?
It's one of the things we base it on. So when you say the Constitution, we're in 19 countries. So we have documents for each country customized. So each country has a different constitution and a different government system, and there's similarities. Yeah,
you're global and we are local, and no more than continental in our scope, even less than northern continent. But what we're trying to do, I thought, fit well with what you guys are doing. And we're trying to remove the incorporated governance that is operating the United States of America's government. And it's coming out of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And our group on Oregon, we have figured out a method. I'm not saying the method, but a method to return Oregon to a constitutional Republican form of government. And we did it. I think it was in October or November of last year, we accomplished the mission and got the paperwork done. Paperwork has got to be in the crux of the whole thing that you guys are doing. And from what you just said, it looks like it's got to be exactly right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's you want to be as accurate as you can, but in commerce, in particular, you can make corrections. So anything can be corrected. So you want to be as accurate as you can, but you can make corrections.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we're doing, like the corporation that's running the United States, that's happening worldwide. That phenomenon.
Yeah.
And so we're taking it on, not just for the United States, but for the world. And we're using the United States Constitution as our covering. Because the founding, in my opinion, the founding, and I'm American, but I grew up in Canada. So that's the history I got, whatever that is. Most of it.
I was teasing you the other day about being another Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm considered dual. But yeah. Anyway, from what, you know, the studies that I've done, because we had to study each country's constitution, and the United States Constitution is absolutely unique in the world. There's nothing that is even comparable to it. And so we're domiciled. We have a church that's domiciled in the United States. That's our founding covering. And the more that I studied it, I think the founding fathers knew this day was coming. They knew that they got, 13 colonies away from the thing, but they knew that there had to be someplace in the world where you could mount a defense worldwide against this thing. And it's that time has come. And so we do all of our documents. They're commercial documents. They're all done in U.S. dollars, no matter what country they're in. So the contracts are all U.S. contracts, and they fall under U.S. jurisdiction. And then they're protected by the U.S. Constitution, regardless of the corporations that's running there. We're operating above that. Because once you understand that there's a corporation running the United States and the rest of the world, what you have to do is deal in the jurisdiction where commercial enterprises are subject to.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. I want to show you a little thing that we do that I think will be very beneficial to you and everybody you're involved with. And to establish your status, your standing, your jurisdiction, your law form and venue of who you are, you're in Canada. So what I'm saying, right? You're still in Canada?
Me personally.
Yeah.
But In Power is not in Canada.
I understand.
Okay.
But you could, with your half American, step across into Washington, and then you would be a man or a woman on the land and soil of a state, commonwealth, or territory, and it would be the territory of Washington, because Washington is not a state. Washington is a member of a corporation. It's still a territory. And so what we're saying is, when you step across the border, then you should declare who you are. And who you are is not a U.S. citizen.
No, I'm not.
People want to think that, and who you are is you're a man or a woman with your children.
Yeah.
And you're on the land and soil of your state, commonwealth, or territory.
Yep.
Okay. You're without a ruler and you're without a subject. That is an entity. That entity is a man or a woman, a free, sovereign being.
Yep.
That's as high as you can get in the hierarchy of man.
Yeah, it actually goes higher than that. See, I don't even recognize countries. So I have that status, whether I cross the border or not. The border to me doesn't exist. It doesn't exist to the Canada geese. They're supposedly Canadian. They fly south every year, and they fly north every spring, and they don't check in at the border. They don't even know the border exists. Yet if I try and drive with one of those birds in my car, dead or alive, I'm going to have armed people saying I can't do it.
Well, the part about being able to do what you think you ought to be able to do, I agree with. But in reality, the United States of America's Constitution is the crux of why the world is still not capitulated to the corporation and to the COVID-19 and everything else. So
yeah, you actually said it yourself, Cal. I'm sorry, Ron, but I just wanted to reiterate that Cal actually said that, you know, that we have our Constitution is above anything. So go ahead.
Yeah, the U.S. Constitution is definitely unique. There's nothing like it in any other country, and they do want to crush it because it is the place where you can mount a defense worldwide, which is what we're doing. And we're just not trying to protect Americans or Canadians or Australians. It's the whole world, like the EU and all that. We can bring the whole world underneath that U.S. Constitution if it's done correctly. So
yes, I agree with that.
So go ahead.
Do you know how to do it?
Yep, we did it.
No, how are you going to bring all of those countries of the world under the U.S. Constitution? Wait a minute. When I haven't finished yet. When the Constitution you're dealing with is a de facto illegal and unlawful Constitution that you're functioning with, and you need to comprehend that you are a man operating under original jurisdiction of the original unsullied Constitution. And you have to be able to get your mindset to that place, or everybody in the United States, they have to understand where they are and get to that place in their mind, or you're still dealing with a false constitution and it's color of law. It's de facto. Yeah. It's not real.
Yeah. Yeah. We go higher than that. And I'm not saying it's, you know, right or wrong. We go, how I teach people is on page one of the Bible, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and give them dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that creeps upon the land. The land is not named. There is no United States. There is no Canada. That's what I'm saying. So we're all on the land. We all have dominion over the waters, the admiralty jurisdiction, the common law jurisdiction, or the civil law jurisdictions in Western Europe. And we have jurisdiction over the air, which is like the spiritual,
divine,
which Charlie was, you know, said a prayer towards in the beginning. So that's where what I teach is, like, countries don't exist, even the United States. Now, that said, we will use the United States Constitution to interface with the whole man system. And that's where we're going to say that's where we are, is on the land in the United States. Everybody, we're not going to try and bring those countries in. We're bringing the people in, the men and the women.
Beautiful.
And they will stand underneath that Constitution through our church, which is protected by the Constitution, where Congress can make no law regarding what's the word?
Be careful on that one, because I know that one.
Yeah, can make no law regarding a establishment of religion.
Yeah, they cannot make a religion. That does not guarantee that you can have one.
They can make no law regarding an establishment of religion.
Yes, they cannot establish one. They cannot make a state religion. They cannot make the Church of England. They cannot make a religion for the state. But that doesn't mean that you can.
Yes, I can, because I did.
Well, yeah, but constitutionally, under the clause that you just quoted, that doesn't give you the authority. What gives you the authority is the Declaration of Independence, where you have unalienable rights. And everybody in your congregation has an unalienable right, and they have that to form a social compact,
that's
to
right.
do to do whatever the hell you want to do.
That's right. And Congress can make no law regarding it.
No, regarding them establishing one.
No, regarding an establishment of religion. So, you know, you can...
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not arguing it with you except for a tiny little detail. The law isn't what you said. You're quoting what the Supreme Court of the United States thought the law said. And they put forth the doctrine that you're talking about where you have freedom of religion and they can't do anything to you and all of that. But they did. They closed down the churches and they put pastors in jail because they wouldn't make their flock wear a mask.
But those churches are not protected by the U.S. Constitution. They're considered a 501(c).
Right.
And what they did is they waived that right that's in the Constitution and took a benefit. Therefore, they have to follow the corporate government.
Yeah, but the Polak guy that was the pastor, his church was not a 501(c)(3). He'd never incorporated it. But like you said earlier, they don't follow the law and they'll do whatever they want.
They're criminals to serve. You just have to have, you know, like you said earlier, you have to have your ducks in a row.
Oh boy.
And you know, your paperwork is as tight as possible. With, you know, you can never have perfect anything. Nothing is perfect, but you know, the more that you're tight with it and really understand where you are and what you're doing and can express that very clearly. You can make people go away. I mean, judges run out of rooms.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not super special. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I just knew, you know, I knew certain things and I could iterate them very clearly.
Have you gone to court in the United States or just in Canada or both?
Just in Canada. Actually, no. I was caught speeding in California one time. But that's before I knew anything. So I went to court. I was held overnight and had court in the morning. So I've been in there. It's identical.
You were going fast.
Yeah, I was going fast. And Californians drive fast. You know, that's the thing.
Yes, what? William.
Yeah. So I've watched a little bit of, you know, I've watched Cal's videos in the past and I rewatched some of it today from that link. I think what Ron should talk to Cal about is our stance on what has happened to bring us here, which would be the Civil War, the 33 states, the 13 Tona, so that Cal understands kind of where we're at with this constitutional scenario, and of course, present our state constitution, specifically the first couple of sentences, so that he kind of feels where we're coming from with this, and then he can add in some of his court dealings that he's dealt with. I rest.
Who heads up the United States for you, Cal?
The people.
Okay. You told me earlier you were dealing with the world and the globe, and I think it was 39 at this particular time.
You mean who's de facto running it?
For you.
For me, I would say the 13 banking families. Is running pretty...
No, yeah. Charlie and I know about those two, but I mean, who is your chief operations officer for your organization in the United States where you have a church?
I'm considered the CEO, and then we have a board. We run by board, so there's six people on our board.
Because what we want to teach, it's going to be valuable to people living in the states and territories of the United States of America. It's not going to be beneficial to Canada at all. It's not going to be beneficial to the other 37 countries you're working with. But for all of those people that are associated and affiliated with you that are doing the work in the United States,
no.
I'd like to get our information in front of them so they are aware of their status and who they are as a man or a woman on the land of their state, their territory, and not a U.S. citizen. Because some knowledgeable people, when they see a piece of paper that says, I'm not a U.S. citizen, they go, wait a minute, yes, I am. And they're not unless they choose to be, because they can expatriate to any place they want to be. As you say, borders are just made up and play pretend, and if you're a free man, you can expatriate any place you want to. So what we're trying to do is bring it to Americans and people that are dealing with the American law system now and the corruption that's going on here, which is entirely different from the corruption of what's going on in Canada. It's similar, but it's entirely different. You guys have a different mindset in Canada than we have in America. You really do.
Yeah, somewhat.
We're closest cousins. I agree with all of that, but it's different. You cross the line into Canada, and then you cross from Canada into Alaska, and the mindset changes. It really does. And the mindset that we have, such as in Canada, they're doing some great work with common law, and they're making it work quite well from what I understand. Charlie's much further along on that than I am. You heard of Kevin Annette?
I know Kevin Annette personally, yes.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. There you go. He's in your area,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he used to live here in my city, but he lives on the island now, which is not far. Yeah.
So that's a different law form that you guys are practicing and dealing in. And to talk to you about original jurisdiction law form constitutionally is not going to help your cause in the other states, countries, Canada. But for all of those that are here in the United States that are doing your paperwork for the United States, they should, at the same time they're doing that, get a paragraph that says, you're not a U.S. citizen, you're not a state national, you're a man or a woman with your progeny on the land and soil.
That's how we designated it in the paperwork for everybody.
That's a different. Excellent. You do that for the United States?
Everybody.
Would you email me a copy of it? I'd like to look at it and make sure that.
I can tell you what it says. It says their name, upper and lower case, sui juris. It says a man or a woman, then sui juris, hereby claiming all rights nunc pro tunc. That's our designation for everyone. So it's small, but it's full. So what sui juris means, in my own right. And that can be, it's not saying whose right it is. It's their each person's own right. Then it's saying claiming all rights. Claim is the strongest word in their man's law, so they have to come with a higher claim in order to knock that one off. Claiming all rights nunc pro tunc, which is then for now, in other words future and all in the past, even rights that you're lying to me about that I may have from like 10,000 years ago that have passed to me, and you just have lied about it. I'm claiming those too.
For all time.
I think you've got an excellent one, and we should add that to our show.
I think so too.
I think that is very well said. Did you think that up, or did you have somebody help you out on that?
With all of of the things that came down, I went, this has to be the simplest thing. When I had to write this document, Ron, just so you know, it had to work for somebody who has done all the exiting, knows everything that you know, and knows exactly who they are. It couldn't drag them back in. Then I had to deal with an 80-year-old lady in some small county in Alabama who's never even had a parking fine and doesn't know anything. It had to work for her too.
Right.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you very much. That was delightful.
Yeah. So that's where the documents come from. So a lot of thought went into that short little sentence, and it's very short. A lot of people have really long ones. You keep it short. Less is more in this case, because you can interpret it your own way. And it just, you know,
well,
that's knocks everything off.
The beauty of it is that one size fits all that they're imposing on us does not fit for mankind, humankind. We are each our own unique entity. And
exactly.
And yeah. So that's beautiful.
Yep. Do you have groups of people on different states that have formed a social compact to work together? Like Tom in Pennsylvania, does he have 5 or 7 Pennsylvania people together?
Yeah, so we do small groups to do the paperwork together. And then, you know, everybody is, you know, by the time they get to us, they've gone through some stuff, you know, and so they're doing other things as well, like state, you know, state citizenships or state, I'm saying it wrong, but you know what I'm talking.
State national. Yeah.
So yeah, there's people that are doing. We're not really teaching that kind of stuff, but because it's just too focused on Americans. But we do point people in the directions of, you know, if they want to do that, they can do it.
I want you to point them at us. Okay, and the reason for it is there's a lot of them: Anna Von Ritz, David Strait, Keith Living's Way. There's a lot of different ones that are going in the same direction. And we think that we have, and we've proven it so far, a unique way to bring, maybe not unique, a way to bring the de facto state of Oregon, and in any other you want, to bring it from a de facto form of government to a de jure form of government that is for men and women, and taking them out of the corporate entity and back to original jurisdiction, where we identify what a man and a woman are, body, mind, spirit, flesh, blood, soul. We identify that, and then we identify the Constitution, where original jurisdiction was. And original jurisdiction was before South Carolina left the perpetual union and after Oregon became a state. Oregon is the last state to be lawfully made a state. All of the others after that, Nevada, West Virginia, through Montana, and New Mexico, 17 of them, they are all corporate entities. They are not governments. They are not original jurisdiction in law form. And just like we have to bring you and I out of the de facto and the incorporated governance of Canada, the United States, and every other one to make a person free on the land, you have to be able to do the same thing with your state and province to return the states and provinces, commonwealths and territories, to return them to original jurisdiction, which is before the fraud.
Yeah.
And if you don't get your state back to original jurisdiction before the fraud, where your state has the same rights as you as a man or a woman have among the other states, because they've done it to them all now. But we have to bring, just like gun control. If the United States loses gun control, this is the last country in the world where the people have more guns than the cops. And if you want to go after it that way, there's a lot of people here that will honor that fight. But all the rest of the countries in the world, with the exception maybe of a little bit of New Zealand and a little bit of Canada, they've lost all their rights to home and self-protection. Oh, yeah. It's gone. Now, that's going to be difficult to bring the men and women back to unalienable rights. But the United States hasn't slipped so far away that we can't bring it back. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So we have to bring each one of the states, commonwealths, and territories back to the concept, the mindset that the state, unincorporated, the government of the people, by the people, for the people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Until we bring that back to that place, then that entity cannot provide what it is supposed to provide, which is peace, safety, and happiness. So we're saying that we have to get back to original jurisdiction in the law form. We have to return to a real constitutional Republican form of government that has a real constitution that works and functions. That's what we're saying. I think we're saying the same thing, only you're looking globally and I'm looking Oregon. And that's a long way apart.
Yeah.
But it's in mindset. And I'm sure that you can gather in what I'm saying and relate it
it's,
out.
It's definitely a mindset. And I think at the revolution, the American Revolution, it was done through the press. I mean, you had the Federalist Papers and people were reading and getting information and hearing other people's opinions. And, you know, not everybody agreed with the revolution either. Many fled to Canada because they didn't want to leave the England. And so.
And back to England.
Yeah, they went. Yeah. And quite a few fled to Canada so that they were still under the British rule. So it wasn't everybody, but there was enough. And it was done through the press. But the press right now is, you know, it's controlled. And that's the problem you have, because you have to educate people in order for them to get that mindset. It's like you said, it is a mindset. And if they're watching TV, they're getting a different mindset. And that's the problem that we have with trying to change, you know, at that level. So the way I looked at it, you know, after I went through what I went through, is this thing is worldwide and we can bring it down worldwide. Then all these things would default back to what they were. The America, none of those constitutions are gone. They're just buried under this other thing, right? And everybody does. That's the problem.
Layers of bullshit.
So, you know, you got to get the people to buy in.
You're muted, Charlie.
I was trying to say, I don't know if you saw the quote that I have at the bottom of my email by Joseph Pulitzer about the media. May I read it? So it says, our republic and its press will rise or fall together. An able, disinterested, public-spirited press with trained intelligence to know the right and courage to do it can preserve that public virtue without which popular government is a sham and a mockery. A cynical, mercenary, demagogic press will produce in time a people as base as itself. The power to mold the future of the republic will be in the hands of the journalists of future generations. Joseph Pulitzer.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
thanks to William Jefferson Clinton. Yeah, he's the one. It used to be that any group or organization, boards, directors, people could only be involved in 6 broadcast stations, period. You couldn't have 7. ABC could not have 7 TV stations. They could have 6. And when it was that way, that didn't mean that they could. Now it's 6 companies.
They
use
the same number, but it flipped.
Everything. They flipped it, and they do that every time. They flip it from the good into the evil, and the people are walking along in the daze that don't know the difference. And if you're walking down the street and they change something, it doesn't bother you, doesn't change you until it trickles down 20 years later and slaps you upside. Yeah.
So I'd like to suggest we're like over an hour now. We're about almost an hour and 20 minutes. So is there anything that you want to kind of wrap this up with or summarize?
Yeah, I want to stay close in touch with this man. Yes. You're delightful.
Yeah, this has been really wonderful to have an opportunity to talk with you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the work you're doing is monumental. It's really monumental.
It is. It's a lofty thing that we're doing, but it's has practical. It can be done. So we're doing it, and yeah,
that's wonderful.
And we've got a lot of really brilliant people working alongside me, and you know, it's just we're all picking it up. It's not just me.
Yes.
So
if you want to give your go ahead, Ron.
If we could get a one pager to you about what we're doing and how we're doing, that you might be able to extend out to the people in the United States.
Yes,
could
you could.
We do that?
And,
thank you.
I'd like you to mention your website again, and we'll put it on our credits under this video. But do you want to go ahead and give your website again, Cal?
Yeah, it's inpowermovement.com.
Great. Yes. Pretty simple. That's great. Well, best wishes to you. It's wonderful. Nice to meet you. And thank you for all of this time. And the difficulty of getting set up was a little bit, but here we are. So.
Yeah. We persevered.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Meet y'all.
You too.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. And he's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car. And he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. Just shoot you want to shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air. And I fought. I swear to God. He was just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead. And then after he was down on the ground, shot him 3 more times.